You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells.
This week's rugby story is a Western Australian-born back rower playing his trade in Super League. He grew up playing lots of sports, in particular rugby league, Aussie rules, soccer and cricket. These sports all contribute to the fine player he is now. A career that has included Manly Sea Eagles, Gold Coast Titans, North Queensland Cowboys, and currently Salford Red Devils. A great bloke who gives his all to the sport on and off the field. Ladies and gents, Mr. Shane Wright.
Follow, like, share, subscribe and endorse us via Facebook, Trot the Egging, Twitter, @TrotTheEgging/@JohnHeth, Instagram, @Trot_D_Egg_In, YouTube, Trot the Egging, LinkedIn, John Hetherington, and Spotify, Trot the Egging.
And how have you been?
No, I've been good. Obviously, injured at the moment, so that's not great. So obviously, a few weeks after that, you go through highs and lows. But I'm back into training now, and slowly on the mend. So as well as I can be.
Bit of familiar weather for you as well, mate.
Yeah, blue skies at the moment, and the high temperatures is definitely a bonus. I wish I was playing footy in this weather as well.
But at least you could. Yeah. So before we get stuck into your rugby story, Shane, where was home for you and who lived at home with you as a kid?
I'm a bit of overshot, really. I was born in Perth, Western Australia, and then moved around a bit over there to a few different towns and cities because dad was a miner, but my parents actually split up, and then I ended up moving to Queensland in Australia, which is the other side, basically. And then when I was seven, and then I moved to a place called Airlie Beach in the Whitsundays, a lovely part of the world. So I would consider that home for me. And I grew up with an older brother, my mum, and mum's partner, I guess, stepdad, I guess you can say.
So was it a competitive household with you and your brother? Was there like mini fights, like knee rugby or out like that as kids?
Yeah, definitely. My brother's nearly 4 years older than me. So, he's always been picking on me and doing what he can to annoy me, really. So, you have your little fights and your arguments and all that. But definitely shaped me who I was in it today anyway, having the older brother. And I'm very grateful for that, all for him.
Yeah. How was you introduced to rugby league then, mate? And where was your first club?
I actually played soccer or football when I was up until I was about nine. But yeah, I was 9 years old when I started playing rugby league. One of my mates from primary school and Cade Breen actually just mates with him through school, and he was playing. So he just said, come join and have a run. And just got into it that way, really. And my junior club was the Possipine Brahmins. So I started when I was nine. But, yeah.
So did you have to choose between football and rugby, or could you do both?
It was sort of one or the other. It wasn't like set in stone, but they just ran similar times throughout the year. And I just wanted to, I love every sport growing up. So I just wanted to give rugby league a go for a couple of years, which I did. So I played from when I was 9 to 11, and then I stopped playing again. And then went and played Aussie rules for a couple of years as well, and cricket and whatnot. And then ended up going back to rugby league when I was 13.
Right. And do you think the fact that you floated between a few sports helps your overall character in the game? So can you take attributes from each sport and mould yourself into what you want to be?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer of that. I think when you can, or if you do love sport, you should play as many sports as you can growing up for as long as you can, because you're going to, like you said, you'll start picking up different skills from different sports, which will then benefit the game you, I guess, end up choosing to go down that path with. So I think, yeah, like I was, out of all the sports, cricket was probably the one I loved the most. And I think just my hand-eye coordination through cricket helped me with rugby league.
Yeah. So you've got to move Sneedy out the way and knock a goal over from the touchline.
Nah, definitely that good. He's a freak. What's needs.
Yeah. So when you're in and out of the sport, mate, did you ever find it hard to transition back? Or was it pretty smooth?
Not really. At that age, not really. Again, I just tried to play every sport I could when I was in school. But I don't know. Yeah, I come back when I was 13 and played 13, 14. And then I was actually going to chuck rugby league in altogether and just go back and play Aussie rules. And then that's when Manly gave me a sort of a scholarship, which sort of kept me with rugby league, I guess. And then that's, yeah, and I just kept going from there.
And the rest will, I'll drag out of you tonight, mate. So before you do that, is there any rep opportunities as kids in Australia in any of their sports you were playing?
Yeah, so in primary school, it's a lot of schoolboy stuff, like especially like cricket, rugby league, Aussie rules, rugby union, and all that. And then once you start getting to 13s, 14s, 15s, then the rep stuff starts coming. Like for me, it was just regional stuff, and then you go to state stuff. But I was only, I got picked for regional stuff, but never really state stuff. Ever for rep teams, really. So, I don't know. I had some good players in my age group, but then obviously, like a lot of people growing up, people just start to filter out over the years.
Yeah. So, was it ever, did you ever go a camp, Shane, and think it's a bit clicky?
What's that? Sorry.
So, if ever you went into like the regional stuff and then the state stuff come around, even though you weren't selected, did it ever feel clicky? So, did it ever feel like it was already sort of picked?
Yeah. I think in schoolboy stuff, I think it's very political. Depending what area you're from, like where I'm from in North Queensland, is not a big area. And then we got to go up to like where Townsville, where I was living with the Cowboys, but that's a lot bigger area. So, I think in schoolboys, they tend to pick the more well-known schools or students from those schools and all that. But it's like anything, like you create your own luck anyway. So,
yeah, it only sets you up for when you're older, a little bit of like added spice for you, isn't it? A bit of an incentive, maybe. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Like I was just saying before, like a lot of boys who probably made Queensland back when they were under 15s, 16s, and all that, like only a handful of them sort of went on further into professional rugby league. So I guess you get a bit of a chip on your shoulder just to prove people wrong.
Right. And how did you find the transition into like high school from junior school, mate? Was you all right at school? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love school. I loved high school. It was probably easier for me. Again, I was in not the biggest area, so you get familiar with everyone pretty quick. And then my brother was grade 11, grade 12 anyway. So that me coming into grade 8, he's grade 12, I guess. You walk around like no one can touch you because he's always close by. So that sort of helped. But like I said, I love school, and I consider myself, I was a pretty good student and stuff like that anyway. So just love playing sport, love being at school with my mates and cracking on, really.
Yeah. And what was like school sport like compared to club sport? So was the standard just as good, whether you were playing cricket, Aussie rules or rugby?
It would differ for different states in Australia or different sports. With rugby league, I think the club stuff and 13s, 14s, 15s probably bigger than the schoolboy stuff, but I don't know, it sort of levels out, especially in Queensland. Rugby league's big, so obviously club and schoolboys, it's still pretty similar, but with the other sports, it might change a bit. But I think, everyone wanted to do the schoolboy stuff because then you could go on and try and make Australia and all that too. So there's further rep teams, I guess.
Because like over here, mate, when it comes to like so soccer, you wouldn't struggle for numbers. But when we were looking for like rugby league team, you probably have to put a few like soccer players on the wing or something, you know what I mean, just to make the team up. I imagine you didn't ever struggle with that, like.
Nah, definitely not rugby league in Queensland. No way.
Yeah, right, mate. So when when you were considering walking away from the game, Shane, and Manly get in touch, how does that process start? How did he reach out to you?
You start like at 14, you start, like, I'd start going to state titles and all that. And then that's when scouts from these teams start snooping around, really. So I guess a junior scout from Manly was just having a look around. And then at that point, I was starting to talk to an agent as well. So ended up getting an agent, and then I guess they just liaise with the agent and you go from there. Then looking back on it, like, you get excited when you're that age that you might get a little bit of cash and you might be signed to an NRL club. But in my opinion now, I think it's a bit young to be actually signing people. When I go back to where I think you should play as many sports as you can and not be locked into one until you finish school, really. I guess they just liaised with me agent, and then probably me mum at the time as well. Not mum at the time, but mum liaising with mum at the time.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
So that's how that sort of just come about, really. Being a North Queensland kid, I had interest from Cowboys when I was young, but I guess I just had a mindset that I wanted to be different. So that's why I chose Manly, but I didn't actually really do much with Manly. I was just technically signed to them.
Right. Because it is very young to have an agent, that, isn't it? So, like, you probably started seeing the business side of rugby league really early.
Mm. Yeah.
So it could have tarnished it a little bit for you. Thankfully, it hasn't.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I guess over here, obviously a bigger scale over here with football, like, some kids are signed at 10 years old or even younger, aren't they? So
crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I feel it is a big commitment. And like you said, it can probably turn people away eventually and they lose interest. But it was exciting for me. And I think it probably motivated me more to, at that age, start thinking, all right, I might have a chance here to go further with this sort of thing.
Yeah. And I imagine it sort of puts like a marker on you when you play your club stuff as well, that you've signed with somebody.
Yeah, especially at those ages, and you start getting a little bit of a name for you then, and people want to, I guess, try and bring you down or try and beat you or whatnot, but I don't know, that just comes with it.
Yeah, because the pressure from the press is massively different, isn't it? Which you've probably noticed, mate. Like, you'd have to search in the UK for rugby league stories, wouldn't you? We're back in Australia. Yeah, on every channel, every front and back page.
Yeah, definitely, especially in the big rugby league states like New South Wales and Queensland. If there's anything rugby league related, it'll be in the media.
Yeah, well, it'll find its way there. Mm. So what happens? Do you have to move to Sydney, mate, or are you able to stay where you're at?
Nah, I was just able to stay where I am. They just they would just fly me down in school holidays, and I'd maybe do a couple of days camp with the local juniors there and play games, and take me into like NRL training back then when I was 15, which was exciting. Give you a bit of gear and all that. But I was probably...
Everyone wants a bit of stash, Shane, don't they?
Yeah. I would have been, looking back on it, I would have been more beneficial signing with an academy or junior scholarship with the Cowboys or something, because it was closer to home. But again, I just wanted to be different, but is what it is again.
Hindsight, mate, you live and learn, don't you? It was like you said, it was exciting for you and it was a challenge.
Yeah, that's it.
So when you got there, what was did you notice a step up in level?
When I went down to Manly camps and all that?
Yeah, when they used to fly you down, was it did you... An early insight into professionalism, really.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I grew up in a small, like a Airy Beach or Whitsundays isn't the biggest place. So once you start getting to those, going down to the biggest cities and all that, the talent's a lot better. The style of rugby league's better. They're trained better. So, you got to step up straight away and quickly learn. But, again, it gives you an insight into what it's like to to take it to the next level.
And what little intricacies could you use from cricket, Aussie rules, and like soccer, you like the Aussies call it dope league? So was there any little things that you felt made you stand out from the average rugby league player due to them other sports? Because there's quite a few, like, there's little things that will probably bring your explosiveness, like short and sweet water, like instant bangs or pivots and stuff.
100%. Again, probably going back to, like, cricket and Aussie rules probably benefited me the most, but just, like, hands, I guess, catch. Like, with cricket, you're always taught, if you're standing in the slips or something, you're ready all the time with your hands. So,
And you've got to be brave there, Shane, as well, by the way, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. And again, with cricket and AFL, just reactive, and I guess like your peripheral vision and all that. So I think those are the little things that I guess transferred into rugby league. But biggest thing was probably just, catch with your hands. And
especially with them shovels, the massive demands.
Yeah,
I imagine like your spatial awareness is pretty key, isn't it? Especially like if you play on an edge as well, like you do, Shane. You've got to know what's going on in and around you, haven't you? Both inside you and outside you.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're defending on an edge, you need to obviously connect with your edge and then obviously with the middles as well. So you have a big part to play there. And having a bit of peripheral vision and all that helps.
Yeah. So when did the time at Manly like come to an end? What was it, something you needed to do for you, mate? Was it, because it's a big ask for a young kid doing the flying back and turning.
So when I was 15, or finished grade 10 when I was 15, up in Airlie or Whitsundays, I went down to the Gold Coast then to a rugby league school. But when you hit 17, 18, that's when you need to, I guess that's when schoolboys comes into play then. And that's, if you do well on schoolboys, that sets you up for an under 20s contract or an NRL contract, really. And I didn't, and under my last year of school, shock, but had a broken thumb. So I missed out on state trials and state carnivals and all that. So, and that's where you sort of, play and showcase your talent to try and go to the next step. And I didn't play. So I think Manly just cut ties there. And then, like I said, I was living on the Gold Coast then, and then the Titans were keen. So that's how I ended up choosing the Titans from that stage of my career.
Right, mate. And how had you been with injuries up until then?
Sweet. I was playing cricket. I got a few back strains, bowling and all that. But other than that, it was just like a little break in my thumb, what, unfortunately, just wrong timing of the year.
Yeah, just there, bad timing. So when the Titans get involved then, mate, and there's an opportunity there, is it a big decision to make, or are you just mad keen for another opportunity?
Mad keen just for another opportunity. Like I said, I missed the opportunity of state titles to showcase. So not a lot of teams at the time were that interested. So, and I was Gold Coast, I was familiar with the Gold Coast. I'd been there for a couple of years at that stage and really started enjoying living down there. So it was sort of a no-brainer to just sign with them and then try and progress from there.
And so when you're a young lad, mate, because you're still a young lad at this point, aren't you? You're still like...
Yeah, I'm 7 or 8.
Developing and finding yourself,
Yeah.
Is it daunting when you're going into these? Because I imagine they showed you training bases, they told you about future ambitions. Is it daunting, or because you come across quite laid back, you're a chill character.
Yeah.
But it's still a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. Titans at the time too were they had a really good center of excellence and all that, like a brand new stadium. So it's not really daunting. I didn't find it daunting. It was more just exciting, really. The biggest, most daunting thing was probably moving from Airlie down to the Gold Coast. That was a big move, because Airlie was all that I knew in my life. And then moving down there to a bigger city, that year was probably the most daunting, just different environment. But because I'd been there for 2 years and then had good close mates who were at Titans as well, made it a bit easier for sure.
And what are you like in a new changing room? Are you someone that takes time to find their feet, or are you straight into it?
I think I'm usually all right. Usually going out and training or going to the gym is not really a worry. It's probably just remembering everyone's names and then just starting to become a bit more familiar with everyone and just try and get a laugh out of them straight away. And then it only usually takes a week, and then you feel sweet.
Yeah, no, rugby's quite good at that, mate, isn't it? I know it's like not everyone gets the opportunity to embrace stuff like that. So some fans won't appreciate how tricky it can be. It is like a bit like that to begin with, isn't it, mate? It's just finding your feet. But I think rugby in general, not just rugby league, we're pretty good at welcoming new faces, new cultures and stuff, aren't we? And
yeah, rugby league's great. And you hear that from, like, we had a physio at one of our physios last year. He come from a football environment, and he's like, mate, rugby league is just so much different to the football environment, where rugby league is just everyone's welcome straight away. I'm like, and that's how it is as a sport, which is good, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus that move potentially set you up for something we'll speak about later, because you've already made a big change in your life. Coming to the UK is just as big, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll touch on, but it's probably give you a nice little insight, mate, to what it had taken, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what's the system then when you go in at that age? Do you play is it Queensland Cup and stuff?
Yeah. So when I was coming through, now it's probably Queensland Cup. If you're good enough at that age, you play Queensland Cup and then try and go to NRL through there. But at that stage, the under 20s tournament, national youth comp, whatever they called it back then, was still a big thing. So 17, 18, 19, 20, you're playing this comp against all the other good players that age, sort of thing. And I guess you got to go, usually you play good there, and then you go into the Queensland Cup or New South Wales Cup system and then to NRL. But you did get some good coverage playing the NYC competition as well. So again, like some players just played a couple of good games there and then would go straight to NRL as well. So all depends on club and coaches at the club, how they want it. Maybe they want you to play against men earlier or whatnot. So
yeah,
it's a lot different now, but back home where those boys come straight out of school, which will go straight into an NRL contract, and they might be good enough at 18 years old. So
yeah. So when you step in at that under 20s at like 16, 17, 18, there's still, even at that age, there can be a big difference in development, Shane, can't there?
Yeah.
So how did you find it going in at that level?
Yeah, you could be a 17-year-old and there might be a 20-year-old who's done like an NRL preseason or something like that, and there's a massive, massive gap still, because as a 17-year-old, you're still developing, unless you're just a genetic freak and you're capable straight away. But I feel as though it takes a few years to get used to it, for sure. But once you start training and playing against these older men or lads, you start getting better yourself, or you have to step up anyway. So or else you get found out. So basically, yeah. So that gives you an insight of what it's like to be a professional straight away, because generally you're training just as much as an NRL player. You're just doing it after you're studying or after you're working through the day.
Yeah.
But that instills good habits or professional habits into you straight away. So it was beneficial, that, for me anyway.
I can imagine. And probably appreciate it a bit more as well, mate, when you're having to do it after being a student or doing the day job as well.
Yeah, yeah, because I try to do both. So I was doing, I stuck with uni, but there was a point there where I did a bit of work experience as a tradesman and all that. And I don't know how some of the boys did it, but I was just like, nah, I want to sort of concentrate on rugby league properly, and I don't think this is it. So that's why I went down the uni and just part-time work path and train on in the afternoons. But some of the boys would just be at concrete or something like that all day and then rocking up to training, and they just look absolutely exhausted. I'm like, far out. So credit to them, but some of them could do it.
No, well, that, like you said, fair play if you can. Mm. So when was there ever a time when you felt like your avenue was blocked, mate, or was there always an open door, like a pathway to play first team, first grade?
Under 20s is a bit, I don't know, like if you're signed from 17, 18, 19, you've got 3 years basically to prove your worth to be good enough for an NRL team. So it can be a bit, that can be a little bit daunting, but I don't know. I had a couple of years and then ended up, it was out of the blue, but ended up getting an NRL preseason at Gold Coast. And then, I don't know, just once I did that, you go in there probably a little bit quiet and all that for the first few weeks. But once you realize that you can mix it with them, I guess you just get confidence. And then you take that back to under 20s where you're the 20-year-old and then you're playing the younger lads. And then you just grow in confidence sort of thing. And then you probably just start playing even better, thinking that you're probably too good for this level of rugby league now. And but that motivates you to play well, to hopefully get an NRL contract somewhere.
I was going to say, once you've done your apprenticeship, Shane, and you've had that taste of the pre-season, it must be difficult to I'm not being rude to anyone, to step back down to the 20s.
I think, some boys definitely find it hard. Like, because once you get a taste, you don't want to go back. It's like, I don't feel like I belong here. So, you get a bit like that, but I guess that's how the pathway system was sort of working when I was there. So I just sort of just took it on the chin and just said, all right, I'm going to go back and play well and hopefully get a contract.
That'd be what I'm about. So did you feel ready for that pre-season that year, mate?
I considered myself pretty fit. So that was the fitness side of things doesn't really bother me. It was, you just get like, maybe there's some big name players there or something like that. But once you train with them for a few weeks, you just realize that they're just everyday players like yourself. Well, obviously they're good, but you belong, I guess. So, they usually, most of the older boys I've ever been with the NRL clubs have just been pretty welcoming anyway, and taking you under the wing and make you feel like you should be there as well.
Yeah, no, it's what it's about, mate, because at the end of the day, without you guys flooding through, there is no club, is there?
Yeah.
So no, if they're going to be shitty with you, you ain't going to hang around anyway.
Nah, you'd be turned off straight away.
Yeah. So how are you in that last year, the 20s? Did you feel like you were a dominant part of that team, not only because you've hit that age and you are finding yourself physically and mentally, probably, mate, but you've had your first grade pre-season as well, so you're probably flying, aren't you, at this point?
You take confidence straight in and you start the year well. So it was probably lucky enough for me that I earlier on in the year I had opportunity, or because I was only meant to go, the preseason was only meant to go to Christmas. I got extended after Christmas to around March. And then you start playing, going back to 20s and start playing. So I had an opportunity to re-sign at the Titans at that point, or there was an opportunity to go back up to North Queensland, which is where I grew up, to the Cowboys. Yeah. So that was sort of the options earlier on in the year, really. So, I was lucky enough to be in that position where I didn't have to play all year waiting to see if I was going to get a contract or not.
Yeah. And is that tricky for a young man, mate, having to make a decision like that so early on?
Yeah.
Whilst playing?
Yeah, definitely, because Gold Coast was home at the time for 5 years at that point. But North Queensland had just come off two successful years and they had some legends of the game up there. So, yeah, I was a bit stuck on what to do. They were both similar sort of contracts and they're both places I like living. So, yeah, it was a hard decision, but at the end of the day, I chose to go up north, which I'm glad I did.
Yeah. So what does a 20-year-old Shane look for when you're in them chats? Are you looking to, one, who you can learn off, two, playing opportunities, and three, position? Are they three key things you look at, mate, or you tell me what you were thinking of at the time?
Learning was the biggest thing for me. Belief has always been a low-key big one for me, where I probably lack a bit of belief sometimes. So it was to go up there and learn, because they had Jonathan Thurston, Matt Scott, Michael Morgan, yeah, Gavin Cooper, just legends of the game, really. So it was more or less to go up there and learn. And so it was a 2-year contract, and I was like, whatever happens after 2 years, like I might not even play a game, but at least I got to learn off some of the best. So I guess that was sort of my mindset, but I guess looking back on it, I would have probably still made that move, but probably would have been better to have a bit more belief and say, no, I want to go up there and learn, but I want to also push and try and play, push for a spot straight away.
Again, it's hindsight, and I imagine, like, as much as like the UK look up to them, like the you guys over there did as well, they're like great, like you just said, great to the game, aren't they? Mm. Especially being in and around the position you're in.
Yeah.
Because you can play a little bit, mate. And it's mad because you would never think you've lacked belief, you know, the way you play.
Yeah.
Because you can see fitness isn't your problem, mate. Your work rate through the roof, but you don't look like someone that like needs an ass tap, you know what I mean? You look a confident player.
Yeah, I guess my physical ability and all that, all good. I just think, especially NRL, I think you get a lot of pressure put on you. Basically, you think you don't screw up. don't screw up sort of thing. Or else your opportunity is going to be gone. So I guess sometimes you might play a bit safe, might not look safe to other people, but you might know you're playing safe in your own ability. So I guess just that, really.
It's all about mindset, I suppose, mate, isn't it? Whether you let yourself go and play what you see, or you're overly played to structure, maybe.
Yeah, and that comes down to how you've been coached as well. Some coaches might want that structure, and some coaches might be like, nah, just play how you see it.
Yeah, and If you had a choice, mate, are you quite happy to just back yourself and whatever comes in front of you, you play off?
Again, my first few years, I probably wouldn't have been that confident. But as you get a bit older and then you've been there a few years, you're like, all right, I've got a bit of leeway here where I can try a few more things.
Right, mate. And before you went back to North Queensland, did you have a spell at Burleigh Burst?
Yeah, I was I was at school, and then I played club rugby league as well, and that was with that was Burleigh. A lot of my mates at school played for Burleigh. That was the closest club to where I live. So
yeah,
that was good. So yeah, played a couple of years of club rugby at Burleigh, and it was really enjoyable. And then that sort of stopped. Once I went to an under-20 system, I didn't really go back. I was just playing under-20s for the Titans, and that was it.
Right, mate. So just a couple of differences between the two levels of game. Is Burleigh more, you learn the dark arts and the intricacies, and like the under-20s is pure technique and pace? Or are they very similar standard?
No, I wouldn't say it's similar standard. I guess it's just like, because there's so much competition, especially when you're coming through. I guess 20s is where you want to be at that age, and then I guess you can go back and play for Burleigh, which is I guess your championship to under 20s.
Right.
So the level drops a bit But definitely a good place to try and get confidence, I guess, and try things and all that, and then go from there.
Yeah. I imagine it's a bit nasty as yet.
What do you, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
But I guess some people who aren't in those systems might just want to take your head off, I guess, as well.
Well, yeah. So, like, basically, yeah, the championship's probably like you're rough and tumble, isn't it? Like, you're in like a rough grind for an hour or so. But if you tend to be able to see the hour, the 65 minute mark in the champ, and you're still in the game, there's a good chance you win the game, isn't there? We're in Super League. You need to be on it all the time.
Yeah,
you can't switch off. That's what I was sort of. Is it a bit like that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, fitness levels and all that would change. And yeah, like you said, as the game goes on, the people who are in systems and who are fitter and all that will generally play better at those back ends of games and start to run away with it.
Right, mate. And then, like you said, you come home to the Cowboys. And how is it when you first walk back? Does it feel like a vindicated decision to go home?
Yeah, it was exciting. I grew up a Cowboys supporter, so in the back of the mind, that was always contributed to my decision. But, it was surreal signing there. That's a dream come true, really. And then getting your own locker. It was called 1300 Smiles or Dairy Farmers Stadium there where we used to train and all that. And like I said, there was greats of the game up there and your lockers are next to them, so... North Queensland's home, so it just felt like I was home, and it just felt like that's where I needed to be at that point in time.
Yeah, imagine like rocking up to your team every morning or afternoon, evening session, whatever you were doing. Must have felt a bit like a bit of a blessing, mate. You can look round and go, not only is it the team I support and it's where I'm from and I love it, you get the privilege of like putting the top on every day, don't you? And representing you. Not many people can represent themselves from where they're from, can they, Shane? Don't get the chance, mate. Well, you got to do that.
Yeah, definitely. It gives you a bit of extra motivation, a bit more pride. You know what that jersey means to you, and you know what the region means to you. So, it was definitely a really good moment in my rugby league career, being able to go back up there. And I guess North Queensland's far away from the big cities and all that, of all the other NRL teams. So, again, it's that sense of pride that you just want to stick it to all them. And it's a bit like Salford too. Like, it's just Salford's a small rugby league team. It's right next to Manchester. But,
yeah,
it's just the same sort of feeling where you want to stick it to the bigger cities or the bigger clubs.
Yeah, like backs against the wall sort of mentality, world against yous and...
Yeah. I think North Queenslanders always just bind together and they just have a crack, really. Have a go.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about your time there, because I'm looking here and you debuted, mate, which, again, with rugby league being so big, cool, mate, some people don't even get to debut, do they? So your debut, you have a spell at McKay Cutters, don't you? You win Rookie of the Year, you win the World Nines, you achieve so much, though. Probably a bit more than you'd expected, mate, when you rock up. You're still a young lad, aren't you? So talk to us about your fond memories there and what you enjoyed most and stuff, mate.
Yeah, definitely a debut. when you debut, you don't really believe, like, can't believe it's happening sort of thing. But to debut in Townsville at 1300 wasn't a win, but got family there. My close mates all said that they can't come, and then you run out, and then they're all there as well, which is special. So, that's a moment I'll always cherish. That's just like I said, from 13, 14 years old, it's all sort of paid off, really, that you finally sort of got there. Probably the biggest thing is just obviously representing the region. That's special. Just having me mates and my family close just down the road who can come up and watch me play, that was massive. Biggest thing was probably just some of the boys I got to play with. I got to play at a high level with some of my closest mates. That's what it's about for me.
Pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that was probably the biggest thing is being able to run out some of those boys or mates in front of your friends and family.
So being as naturally gifted as you are, mate, at multiple sports, was there ever a point before you come over here where they had a chat with you and tried to convert you back, or was once you were established, was rugby league always where you were going to stick at?
I haven't really talked to anyone to try and go play other sports or whatnot. Definitely in the back of my mind, I probably said, well, maybe you should go back and try and play Aussie rules or go play rugby union or something like that. Probably they're probably two of the main ones. Probably not going back and playing cricket or whatnot now.
Yeah,
it's crossed my mind, but I think I've been applying my trade to rugby league for a long time now, where it was like, I'm pretty keen just to keep going and keep giving it a crack, really, and see what happens.
Yeah, because we flew through your career there, and I've not really probed you on like the achievements each place must have took. So every journey where you've gone to, the sacrifice at every point and to make. So whether it's having a beer with your mates one night, parties, holidays, these are things that people don't appreciate fan-wise, do they? Because you're meant to be living the dream Monday to Sunday, where there must have been times you've looked, even since you've been here, which we'll talk about the move to Salford in a second, but what are the sacrifices you've had to make, Shane, just for fans to understand?
Yeah, it's I think from, I've been asked, you get asked this a bit, it's like, what did you want to do? What did you want to be when you were young? And I think from about 10 years old, I just said I wanted to be a professional sportsman, whether that be rugby league or any sport. So I think you start dedicating yourself to being a sportsman, well, I did personally from a young age. And then, like you just said, like when you start getting into high school and stuff like that, you got mates who start going down other routes where they start partying and drinking and all that. Just, I guess you just got to say you have a choice whether you want to go down that route or not. And then you're just sacrificing that. So you just say no to all that. You're just rocking up and playing sport and going to school and just doing the best you can just so you can try and get to that dream, I guess, the end goal. So, there's a lot of sacrifices. So I guess that through school and then having to move to different schools to further my opportunity. So you move away from your close mates and your family at a young age. And then once you start getting into young adulthood, you start, it's the same thing. Like you start continually have to say no to the partying, and then you start missing out on 18th birthday parties, 21st, and then it continues into professional sport too, where I guess everyone's enjoying themselves on the weekends and all that, where you're, I guess, prepping for a game or playing a game, so you sort of miss out, and then you miss out a lot of things. And that's probably the biggest thing over my career. I've been away from my family a lot of the time. So you just miss out on special occasions, which that just comes with the job, really. So I guess that's the biggest thing is sports people all over, I guess, will just have to sacrifice those things in order to continue their career.
It's silly things as well, mate, like holidays, grub, food. Isn't it? Because yous are always on it.
Yeah. Especially over here. Like, for boys, it's so easy to hold out here or go overseas. So obviously I didn't grow up here. So it's a different mentality because Australia's far as away. But Yeah, it would be hard because it'd be so easy to just go, I'm going on this holiday for 3 days and going to go party and get on the pier somewhere in Spain or whatnot. So, yeah, it's just that willingness to say no, really. Yeah. And like you said, diet's a massive thing as well where, again, you got to say no. I don't want that food. I can't eat that food.
That means you can say no. I'm a chubby kid, mate. So, do you get to go and see much of Europe, mate, since you've been here? Have you been able to have a couple of days off and go and see a few cities, or do you plan to?
Yeah, unfortunately, last year I was injured as well. So, as an Australian, it's pretty exciting. So, if I get 2 days off, you could be in a different country in 40 minutes. You could go to Dublin or something like that. So.
Yeah.
When I've had my opportunities, I will go overseas. I think that's obviously I'm over here to play rugby league, but I've obviously got a really good opportunity to go see the world as well. So
You've got to live as well, Shane, definitely.
Yeah. So I'll go to some countries. I'm lucky enough to have close mates who play in that French elite comp, which is nice because it's good having some familiar people over here. And I've got close mates. The one, the lad who actually introduced me to rugby league is living in London. So I can go see him if I have a weekend off as well, get a train down there and go see him, which is good. It's nice, like I just said, it's nice to have familiar faces still close by.
Yeah, went in pair for the beers down there though, mate.
Oh yeah,
a bit heavier than up here.
Yeah. And I go down there for a few days, and I'm like, I'm ready to get back up north. I think.
Yeah, get some real prices.
Yeah.
So how was it winning like a rookie of the year, mate? Because we know your decision vindicated because you've gone home, but you must like when you get time to reflect, which I know a lot of you don't get time to because. Your career moves that fast and there's always something going on. It must be a huge honour to you to go back and to have proved yourself. Like you said, you'd done a different route, didn't you? And you wanted to prove to people you could do it. And yeah. I imagine that's a little sign of that.
Yeah. Well, especially that year. There was a few lean years there where I only played a handful of games but that year sort of... got a good opportunity to play majority of the year, and that's where it's your belief sort of just excels even further. It's like I really do belong here, but no, it is an honour getting Rookie of the Year at the Cows. There's always good players coming through, and there's always young players nipping at your feet too. So, to get that award, I haven't actually thought about it too much, but you know, you do look back on it. I am proud. I'm sure after whenever I finish, I'll look back on it and I'll probably think of it even highly as well. So, like I said, there's some good players who played that year, and like Scotty Drinkwater and all that were coming through who were up for the award as well. So, it was good to get recognised for that year.
Yeah. And what did it mean to North Queensland when the Premiership come home? So I actually went that final, mate, you know, against Brisbane.
Yeah.
I was in the gods, like, but what an experience. Like, what a game. How was the place when it come home, and did it reinvigorise rugby league in the state, or was it already on a high anyway?
I think it was already high. That rugby league is huge in North Queensland, but for that to happen was, that was massive. I was living down the Gold Coast at the time, but I was actually back up in Airlie when it happened, and I was with my mates, and it was crazy. Like Airlie, where I grew up, is 3 hours away from Townsville, but the town was just rocking. So couldn't imagine what Townsville was like that night. It would have been nuts. So that was massive for the community, for sure, and just probably. Again, instills that North Queensland kids can do it, and and deserved to be on that stage. And I can only say that rugby league got even stronger from that point.
I was going to say that, mate. I think that's what I quite like about, other than obviously Penrith, the last couple of years, because it tends to be a different ownership, doesn't it? Someone always kicks on, like, I shouldn't say always, because obviously, like I said, Penrith done it, but usually it's a different set of hands on the trophy. So it must be nice for the locals to think, actually, if I can kick on here, there is a pathway and there is an opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the Cowboys have capitalised on that from that premiership winning year, where they've since got a state-of-the-art training facility up there and a brand new stadium, which can attract not over only rugby league games, but like renowned world acts, performances, other sports and all that. So the sporting opportunities, what's up in Townsville now is just skyrocketed. And that comes down from them winning that for sure.
Mate. So when the time come, when people were negotiating stuff with you, what were the other options other than Salford, or was the UK always a name for you?
It was just hard. UK popped up more so than the NRL, and then NRL was just a few maybes and whatnot. And then obviously with UK and quota players and all that, you either take the opportunity or you wait, and then the quota might get filled up. So essentially you've only got 7 players per team over here, which is, it's not really that much, is it? So, it was there, and then they sort of give me a timeline, and it was basically run the gauntlet, try and play out the rest of the year and see if an NRL team comes in or just take up the UK opportunity. And eventually I just come to that point where I take up the Salford opportunity.
Yeah, because you're not frightened of the big decisions, which we touched on before. You're willing to take a risk, but because you know what you're capable of as well, mate. You've filled your body out. The shovels can play a little bit, can't they, mate? Yeah. So it's probably an opportunity that you maybe might have wanted to do later on, but it come at a time you couldn't say no as well, I imagine.
Yeah, I was always keen to come over to the UK. Like you just said, I would have loved to have got another few more years in the NRL opportunity-wise, but I don't want to let this opportunity go and then it just doesn't come back as well. So, it's been a daunting move, but also, again, exciting. You never know what's going to happen, so you might as well try it out. Can always go home if I want. So,
no, joking aside, exactly that, mate, isn't it? You can't
yeah.
you? Yeah. Yeah. So what sort of chat did Bleasey have to give you to get you over here then, mate?
One is my managers actually live, or he lived down in London, but because he knows me and he lives on the Gold Coast, and if you've been to the Gold Coast or area, they're pretty good spots in the world on the coast. And he just said, look, like, if there's one place that you're probably going to enjoy the most, it's probably being in Salford or close to Manchester. So that was the conversation I had with my manager or my agent. And then, but Bleasey just gets the chat about same thing what I was saying about before, but just Salford being backs against the wall sort of thing, and not the biggest fan base, but they're the loudest for their numbers and all that. And I think that sort of stuff resonates with me. So closer, I knew it was going to be a place where I enjoyed living when I eventually got used to the weather, but just a team or a culture that was just working class, really, which again, that resonates with me and that fits my personality and the way I like to go about training and playing footy.
I know, mate, when I might have a jet on, I think it was LinkedIn, wasn't it, mate? Mad, did you? But when I went that Catalan game, you're so well thought of. like everybody raves about you. It must be nice to know that your hard work pays off, because people can always blow smoke up your arse, Shane, can't they, and see your face in that. But you would never have known that till they were talking about you, if I hadn't have said it, if that makes sense. So it's like, it's the hard work they notice, not always like the fancy stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I'll always take that over being fancy. I'd rather do the stuff that no one wants to do, really.
Which is the stuff everyone notices, isn't it? That's just they do.
I guess. I don't know. I'd try and I just get on with it and just block out the noise, really. But Salford fans are great. They wouldn't have to say anything like that to me, and I'd still give them my time of day anyway. So, but it is nice to be recognised for some of those effort areas. That's probably what builds my game, really.
Yeah, but you work, like I said before, your work rate's sky high, and it's not, what's the best way of putting it? It's not like pointless efforts. They're all the little efforts that make things happen. Mm. Like you can't play the brand you play without the hard work first.
Yeah.
Definitely. So everyone needs to do the hard work first before you can go and do the flashy stuff, which is aren't scared of doing either.
Yeah.
So what was your impression of Super League before you've come, or did you even have one? And how have you found it since you've got here?
To be fair, I didn't watch a lot of Super League when I grew up. I played a lot of Rugby League Live and was really familiar with Leeds, because Leeds had that amazing team for all those years. So. But I didn't watch too much yet, mainly because of time difference, really. But I knew Super League was a bit more attacking focused, I guess. So that's an exciting part of the way the game's played over here, because you come from NRL, which is just heavily defense focused and structured, whereas yeah, you come over here, and especially my first few training sessions, when I first met with Rolls, he basically just said that we want to play an expansive style of rugby league, which is exciting. It's just different, and it probably takes you back to your junior years of playing footy, which brings a bit more joy back into it.
Sex, that's fundamentally why you started playing, mate. It's because you loved it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Does it get a bit monotonous when it's like set for set? Because I know you've got to tell fans I love every bit of rugby, and rugby's my life. I don't do nothing but rugby, which you obviously got to. Like, you've got to live. But does it become a bit monotonous when it can be like 4 carries, a couple of Kiwis and a kick to the corner?
Yeah, it can be...
Without being rude, mate, I don't mean to be rude. I just imagine it can just be like a mental drain.
Yeah, it's draining. You got to be, yeah. It's just constant grind, which isn't great, because some of the athletes, like back home, there's some big, powerful boys too, and the last thing you want is to get into a grind and constantly have to run into brick walls and then vice versa tackle brick walls. But
Yeah,
it is a part of the game, but I guess that's why it's a bit more exciting here, where it's like we're coached and our team's got the skill to do the grind, but also have a crack at the same time as well.
Yeah, and eligibility wise, mate, who are you eligible for internationally?
Australia, but. Generally, you need to be playing in the NRL to be picked for Australia. Dad was American, so I can actually play for the US.
Ever popped up for you?
I got asked in the 2017 World Cup to play for America. That was my first year at the Cowboys. Had a discussion with the club then, but it was sort of it was all my decision, but it was sort of spoken to me that it was probably more important for me to do another pre-season instead of doing the World Cup, really, which I agreed with as well. I'd probably learn a bit more from being in that environment than probably going to play for the US at the time. So that was my decision. And then the last World Cup, obviously, they didn't qualify. So I guess I missed an opportunity, but I'm sure there might be another opportunity to represent them.
By the game's expanding, you'd like to think yeah. So, Shane, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's it. And you pretty much like an indispensable member if they can get there. A bit like some of the Super League boys with Jamaica, isn't it? You're like, you know the game, you're solid, you play at a high level every week. So you'd be someone they'd heavily lean on, but also you'd be helping develop a sport in a country. You don't know what doors that can open either.
Yeah, definitely. Even my agents and managers are starting to do some stuff with rugby league over in the US, and I've already said to them that I'm keen to go over there, and if I can help develop rugby league over there. And then, like you just said, that you never know what opportunities might arise from that.
That's it, and maybe even a little trip to Vegas or New York as well, eh?
Yeah, why not?
If it's paid for.
Yeah.
So logistically, mate, you know, when you're doing the long journeys and stuff, even back home, does it take a toll on you as well, like your body and your mind? Are you well looked after, or are you flying like economy, or how do you find the amount of travelling you do when there's no Guinness at the end of it or out like that?
I only went back for Christmas this past year, so it was only once in the last 18 months I've been home. So you're well looked after. You're not getting first class or whatnot, but I'm happy just flying. I call it cattle class or economy, but no, it's pretty good.
I like that, cattle class.
But the club's been pretty good in that regard. So it's more just leeway, and when I need to go home or when I want to go home. But like I just said, I went home for Christmas for a few weeks to break up the winter, which was good. But this year I haven't really felt the need or the urge to get back as soon as possible, which I probably did a little bit last year. But this year I just feel a lot more comfortable being over here, which is it's nice.
So let's have a little natter about the injury then, mate. So how did it happen, and did you know it was pretty serious straight away?
Yeah. So how it happened, one of the Saints lads just knocked the ball on, and I've just gone to pick it up. Probably didn't have to, really, but that's just a competitive nature, I guess, to just compete for every ball when it's in play. Every play, got the ball, and then my boot was just in the ground, and then Matty Lees just tackled me awkwardly, and then because my boot's stuck in the ground, my body weight sort of just rolled over my ankle, which has sort of twisted it, and then eventually it's just it's broken. I've done some ligaments in it, but at the time, I've had a broken ankle before on the other side, but that dislocated. So my first thought was, I didn't want to look at it because I thought it might be dislocated, but I looked at it and it was all right. And then the physio sort of just calmed me down a bit and stood me up, and I got off the field. Because I stood up and got off the field, I actually didn't think it was too bad. But then obviously you get scans and whatnot, and that wasn't really the case. But
yeah, especially when the swelling's not going anywhere, so you have to wait a bit longer, and then the couple of changes.
Again, that's rugby league, and it's unfortunate because, again, I felt really comfortable this year, and probably the fittest I've been in not a long time, but in the last couple of years as well. So I just really felt like I was getting back to where I know I can play. But again, that's just a bump in the road. Afterwards, your mental state probably goes, like I was saying before, you have your highs, but it's, you just think everything's all right, and you have your lows. It's like, oh, bloody hell, not again. But I'm sort of through that now. And like I said, I'm training again now, so I'm over it and just ready just to get to rehab it properly and get back on track, really.
Yeah. And I suppose that's what you hope for, that you're able to. And I imagine some people maybe even try to push it in the past, and when you're not quite ready and come back early, mate, you're at a high risk, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm big on that. Yeah, you should, obviously you need to push sometimes and you can't essentially take the piss, but in the back of my mind, or that's just the person I am, I'll do everything I can to make it as quick as possible and do it properly. But I know I've been doing it long enough now to know that if I know something's not right, then say it and deal with it before you get back playing.
Yeah, I suppose it's just having the nuts to say it, Shane, isn't it, and not feel too pressured into coming early, I suppose.
Yeah, which some people I get may struggle with, but that's just me. I guess because I've probably done the other ankle when I was young.
I just know what it takes.
So yeah.
Right, so a couple of questions before we jump on your daft ones, mate, if that's all right.
Yeah.
So how is it when you first see your name on a jersey? Oh, like that young lad asks you for, or a young girl asks you for your autograph. How is that first one? Bit surreal.
Yeah, surreal. When you start getting asked for autographs, it's mad. I remember one, I think it was my second or third year at the Cows. I was in the off season. I was actually just doing a run around where I was living, and then you got a couple of kids just like ask for autographs out of the blue. I wasn't in any training kit or anything, so that was cool.
I was gonna say you were therefore stashed out.
Yeah.
I would have been like walking around.
Yeah. Name on the jersey. We don't really do that back home. You get training shirts and all that back home with your name on the jersey, but over here having your name on the jersey, that's cool. That I like that. I like that about it over here. Makes it mean a little bit more to you as well.
Yeah, like earning the starting number maybe.
Yeah.
Right, mate. So what are your ambitions while you're here? Are you happy to stay here long term? And then as a team ambition, what are you looking to do as a team at Salford this year?
I'm happy to stay here long term. Obviously, in the back of my mind, I'd love to go have another crack at the NRL, but you need to earn that right. But if that didn't happen, I would be content staying here. There'd be nothing more. Oh, I don't even know the words. It'd be so good to win a trophy with Salford. Obviously, either or Challenge Cup or Super League would be unreal. I know a lot of people's perspectives are different over here, but for me to win a Super League would be unreal, because I just feel it's a whole year's effort, really, with your group of boys and all that towards that goal. So that would be the ultimate goal, especially because, what is it, four teams have only ever won the Super League over here and only three of them are still in the comp. So to win a comp at Salford would be great. It would be a massive achievement because everyone sort of considers Salford as a smaller sort of club.
Yeah, just to break the mold, mate, isn't it? And
yeah,
have a new name on it. Yeah,
100%. And it would do the same thing what happened in North Queensland. It would probably open up so much more opportunity if a team outside of those bigger teams could, not just Salford, yeah, any other team really, could break that mold and win a comp.
Yeah. Norman, I appreciate you not just going, we go week to week. So cheers for that.
Yeah.
Because I know you do to a degree. I appreciate you do. But everybody's goal come pre-season surely is minimum playoffs and then try and get a home semi, isn't it? And
if you're not in it to win it, it's like, well, what are you sort of doing there, really?
Yeah, exactly that, mate. I do understand the ambook sort of stuff, But the ultimate goal is to lift a trophy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Got a few daft questions for you, Shane.
So
any pre-match superstitions, mate?
Pre-match. Yeah, I gotta before I usually go to an away trip or to a home game or something like that, I'll floss my teeth.
You do have good teeth, to be fair. Like, I am hiding mine. Right, so the toughest player you've played with and against?
Toughest player I've played
with. Definition of toughest is very different, sorry to interrupt. So everyone sees that word in a different way. Yeah. So some people might see it as someone that'll just bang it out. Other people see it as they carry the ball strong on returns. If you get what I'm saying, it's a very broad word, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Matt Scott was probably one. I got the privilege to play with Matt Scott at the back end of his career, but tough wise. But one of my good mates, Ruben Cotter, who's killing it at the moment back home, he's one of the toughest people I've ever met.
Yeah, good Erdo as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. A little bit. So your favourite away ground?
In the UK or in Australia?
Either or, mate. Or from each?
From each. In the UK, I like playing at Leeds. I think that's Headingley is unreal.
Mega popular, Shane.
Yeah.
Mega popular.
Back home. Yeah, away. It's probably not like a big stadium back home, but there's a stadium on the Central Coast called Blue Tongue Stadium. And it's just a fast track. It's usually good weather and it's got palm trees in the back run until full of water. So being a coastal kid, I love that sort of scenery. So that, yeah, probably that.
It sounds rubbish, that. So are you someone, do you like the modern ones, mate? Sorry to go off, but do you like the modern stadiums or do you prefer the older, close-knit ones?
Depends how much crowd you get there, really. I'm big on the bigger the crowd, the better. So if you've got a big stadium with a big crowd, that's outstanding. But then if you've got a big stadium but no crowd, then it's not that great as well. So
empty, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. But then you go to some of these smaller grounds, but then they might be packed and it feels loud as. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Atmosphere is a big thing, but I will say for some, like you might not get big crowds at some places over here, but it seems loud all games because the fans are just passionate and that's great. Yeah.
Try and get a bleezy to get a few palm trees for you at the ground as well, mate. So if you could go back and tell a younger you something, what would it be?
What if it could turn out better than what you expected? Which is basically just, why not have a go? Have a go and see what happens.
I like that, because even with hindsight, mate, your journey would be different if you'd done anything different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But no, I like that. Yeah. So say you're out having a few beers with the lads, mate, and you're in Dublin and you've had a few and the mic's in your hand. What karaoke song are you giving us?
Men at Work Down Under. 100%.
Brilliant. Listen, I understand if you don't want to, but if you're willing to give us a 1-13 that you've played with so far, that'd be great.
All right. I haven't had to think about that one. I'm probably just going to pick me mates.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fullback would be Scott Drinkwater. All right. Wingers. All right. There's some good ones.
What do you want from your fullback, mate? Do you want a pivot or do you just want someone that's great in the air?
Nah, a bit of both, but someone who can just... Nah, he needs to ball play a bit too. Actually,
yeah.
I'll probably, oh no, I didn't play with Jerome. Nah, I'll say Scott Drinkwater at fullback.
Yeah.
One wing would be Kyle Felt.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the other wing would be Ken Seo because he just scores.
Yeah, point score machine, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. One centre would be Tim Laffey.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say me mate, Tom Opacic, because I enjoyed playing with Tommy and Feldy on that on an edge at Cows at the time.
Yeah. You've been blessed, like, I mean, yeah, do you know, like, I understand it's tough.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just hard to think back, really. You think about who played. Yeah. Halves. Michael Morgan would be six. I got to play off Michael Morgan 1 year. That was great. Sports enough to play with Jonathan Thurston, so he would be half back. Didn't get to play many games with him, but to play with one of the best to ever do it was unreal.
Yeah.
Front row would be, again, would probably be Matt Scott. And I'd probably put Ruben Cotter up front as well. Dummy half. Probably my old roommate, Reece Robson, who's just been picked for New South Wales.
Yeah. What do you want from your hooker, mate? Are you happy for him to jump, fix the markers and free you up? Or
yeah. Happy. Yeah.
Distribution.
They need to have a bit of running game, 100%.
Yeah.
You need to be able to have a run. Right. Keeps D on their toes. Back rowers would be, Gavin Cooper would be one. He's probably the biggest person or biggest mentor in rugby league that I lent on over my time at the Cowboys. Still keep in contact with him now. Trying to think of another back rower.
Yourself, goal kicker, captain.
Hey. trying to think. Might just say. Nah, just probably another close mate. Again, probably Mitchell Dunn. Played a bit of back row with him. So, again, probably not the best I've played with, but just one of my closest mates, really. So,
yeah.
Pick him. And then lock would be Taumalolo. If there's anyone you ever want to play with, it's probably Jace.
You've been listening to Trot the Eggin. Thanks to our sponsors, Bidell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEggin and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.